over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
The good news is, well, we've got more than just one bit of good news. But in terms of the Blackhawks in St. Louis, they don't have to go there anymore this year. And I'm sure they're happy to leave. A 5-2 loss to the St. Louis Blues tonight as they lose the season series now 3 out of 4 to one of their division rivals. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 10:30 tonight and for the next 3 years. But we've got a character-building post-game show to get going here tonight. So let's head on down to St. Louis and bring in our pal Troy Murray. He was on the call with John Weideman tonight. Troy, as John said, I don't know what much more we can say about this one. Some nice life later on as Kurashev was able to find the back of the net, Landon Slaggard his first NHL goal, but this game was lost in the first 5 minutes, 4-0, St. Louis.
Just a good start for the team. Not a good start for Peter Mrazek, who has been excellent all season long, so I'm certainly not going to pick on him. He has deserved so many pats on the back for keeping this team in a lot of the games that he has lost. Tonight wasn't one of them. Give credit to the St. Louis Blues, but you know, right off the bat, how do you allow a breakaway right down the middle of the ice in a play that, you know, there's no way that should happen. Just miscommunication, middle of the ice, hey, that's your ice. That's the good ice that you want to protect. You want to force everybody into the bad ice on the outside, and Hawks not able to do that. Right after that, a quick 2-on-1. That one's in the back of the net. You're on your heels. Place is rocking. St. Louis is playing a lot of energy. Well, they get their third shot to go past Peter Mrazek, and Luke Richardson does what he needed to do there to try and turn something around, wake up his guys, help out his goaltender a little bit. Arvid Soderblom comes in, and next shot that he faces, that goes in. So it's 4-0 now, and really just, you know, the game was over at that point. The Hawks worked hard, but, you know, you can say, well, we got our legs going, blah, blah, blah. You got to be ready to play 60 minutes in this league, and if you're not, you're never going to have the best 60 minutes all in one game. But at the same time, you got to come prepared to play the game way better than you were Sunday afternoon against the Minnesota Wild, way better in this game tonight against the St. Louis Blues. That, to me, is unacceptable.
Yeah, you knew something was off when when Luke Richardson pulls Peter Mrazek to try to shake things up by bringing in Arvid Soderblom. But I don't know, you kind of got to give a little credit to Soderblom getting thrown in a wacky situation. I know it's tough to critique his game in this type of setting, but I feel like he did an all right job of kind of settling things down.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't, you know, not at his fault. It was a great play by the St. Louis Blues to pick up their fourth goal on their fourth shot. Good, nice passing play by them. Really not a whole lot Soderblom could do there. But, you know, he tough. You're sitting there thinking, okay, I'm on the bench here, and 5 minutes into the game, you're putting your gear on, you're going to get your mask inside the room. That's not the optimal type of start you want to get thrown into, but that's the life of a backup goaltender. You got to be prepared mentally. It's like a pitcher coming out of the bullpen. You got to, you know, mentally prepared at any time to get that that call from the bench, and Soderblom came in and did a pretty decent job. But it, you know, the game was basically over by then, and
right.
And I thought St. Louis, they played a great game. They really didn't give the Hawks a lot. And Hawks weren't willing to take anything. You know, they kind of pushed them around. They bullied them around until basically you could see that the Hawks really didn't have a whole lot of pushback in this game, and then they just cruised to a victory.
Troy, I kind of want to switch gears here. When you were talking about your pal Kelly Chase, who's dealing with such a rough battle right now, and mentioning how you're kind of more friends now after the playing days, because maybe you've gotten a couple of tumbles during your playing days.
Oh, I didn't go near him.
Well,
trust me.
But so I saw Duncan Keith and Chris Pronger were both speaking at an event, I think in Moose Jaw, and it was so bizarre to me because they were posting about it. It was so bizarre to see them like sitting in the same car and being so cordial. And I get it, they're adults, it's past their playing days, but you know, what's the conversations like after your playing days, when you go up to a guy that maybe you did get in a scuffle with and never really liked out on the ice, do you bring that up? Do you kind of talk about that a little bit? Not to like put everything under the table, but just, I don't know.
No, I know what you're saying there, but it, you know, once the game is over, and even a lot of times during the season, you know, the game is not like it was before, and if you can forgive the players that you played against and fought against and battled against back in those days. And you know, it was tougher before I got into the league, too, with the Broad Street Bully era and the way that the game was played there, bench-clearing brawls all the time. You know, that was wicked, and there was a lot of hatred. But at the same time, I think you forget about that, and as you move forward in your life, that it's not that important about what happened in the games. You have a lot of respect for those guys that you battled against, and I think that's kind of maybe the big point out of it, that you had a lot of respect for the guys, and you knew that you were in for a battle, and you knew that if you were up 4-0, you better prepare yourself because you knew what was coming. And then after your career is over, you run into those guys, and yeah, boy, that was tough. We had those battles, boy. That was I didn't sleep in the afternoon. Those kind of things, and you know, I played head to head against Wayne Gretzky, and we've had some great conversations, you know, about, you know, him playing against me, and you know, my thoughts on playing against him, and you know, those things that, you know, I didn't like going up against Gretzky because he was such a great player, but I appreciated how good he was, and it made me a better player. And I think that there's, you know, as you just move forward, you forget about all those things. And it was a great example of how many people from the St. Louis Blues alumni and the league alumni were here. And Chris Chelios, you know, he got cheered and booed at a sold-out capacity rink here of about 3,500, 4,000 people. You know, people aren't going to forget Chris Chelios, but as much as he was hated and despised, he's respected throughout the league. And you know, everybody was happy to see him. There was a lot of tough guys that were here playing in that game or around from the alumni. And it just, you know, it's a fraternity that is really special. And I think that the way the game of hockey is played, the way football is, you know, the more physical sports where they you go head to head, and it is, you know, it's a battle, and it's competitiveness, and who wants it more is kind of the theme while you're playing. But after you're done, it's like, man, you know, those were great times. Boy, we went head to head, and I boy, that was tough. I really respected the way that you played, and I think that's kind of the mentality. And if you see a guy like Kelly Chase, nobody liked to play against Kelly Chase. He was tough. He knew what he needed to do. He was a true warrior in the game of hockey. But now everybody respects Kelly Chase, and you know, it's nothing to do with the way that that he played the game. In a lot of ways, it's what he's doing now to be a better person and make this St. Louis community a better area.
Huh. Very cool. Very cool. Well, pal, I know you resonated and connected with so many fans in your playing days, but also in your years behind the mic here on the radio station. And we get three more years of John and Troy.
aren't you lucky? You get me for three more years. We'll throw John in the package as well. We're probably going to have to deal with Krista on the board and everybody else. And well, we'll make it work.
She's giving me a sign right now. She's saying you're
cut him off.
yeah. Oh, sorry. That's all the time. But no, yeah. Ton of great stuff. We're super thrilled here. We're super excited, and just unfortunately not a game to compliment the news today, but a very fun day in terms of the news that broke.
No, the game itself, it takes a little bit of a sidestep to what was mentioned today with our agreement between the Blackhawks and WGN. Krista, I do love all you guys. Everybody back at the board, you guys make us sound good, and that's hard to do sometimes. Joe, love working with you as well. So this is a great day for so many reasons, and we should be very thankful for the position that we'll be in here for the next 3 years at least.
Absolutely. Well said. All right, pal. Hopefully you guys get home a little bit smoother than the last time in St. Louis.
Yeah. I hope we catch a flight out, not a bus ride.
I hear
but
you.
After this game, you never know.
Get those cold cheese cheeseburgers ready. All right, pal. We'll talk to you.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
That is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call tonight from St. Louis as the Hawks fall to the Blues 5-2. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're going up to 10:30 tonight. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. It looks like we got a call, but really quick, I just want to say my sentiments about the contract extension as well, because it is a huge moment for both the station and the Hawks. It's great to get this finished and done with before the end of the season. Everyone can look forward to the off season and then into next season, and that's the most exciting part about this, it being a multi-year extension, because this Blackhawks team is in the right direction and so many promising, fun, and exciting things to look forward to, and to know that all those exciting moments are going to be on WGN radio for at least the next 3 years is relieving, it's encouraging, and it's fun, and I think it's home, and it's in the right place, and I'm very, very proud to be a part of it, as I feel like I am able to express, hopefully, enough throughout my time here, and just really looking forward to the next 3 years working with John and Troy. And as they said, it's not just John and Troy or me. It's Krista Flores, Brett Jackson, Dan Long, our engineers here that do a phenomenal job. And everyone that I'm about to mention is the best in the business. Our production crew, and I know I'm going to miss a name or two, but Jack Heinrich, Alan Poppy, Colin McCarthy, Patrick Kennessy, Sammy Martino, Tony DeNardis. If I'm missing a name, I might forget, but Paul Zerang deserves so much credit as well. He is the maestro at every game at the United Center. Every once in a while, we do get some extra help from Nick or Ricky, but Paul Zerang always makes sure that the ship is ready to sail and in pristine condition. And if you ever listen to other broadcasts and you have a keen ear to quality audio, you might notice that the Hawks broadcasts are just a little bit crisper, and that is because of Paul Zerang. He really is the best to do it and the best to lead a team that fills in for him. So all the love in the world for all those people and everyone who has helped us along the way. And, of course, the decision makers, Mary Sandberg Boyle, Dave Ennett, our leaders here at WGN Radio, and then over at on the Blackhawks side of things, starting with Danny Wirtz and Jamie Faulkner and Trevor Bray, all their hard work. Definitely appreciated to get this done and announced today. So with that, let's go to Devin in Palos Hills, who continues his perfect attendance here on the postgame show. Wants to talk about Landon Slaggart and his fit in the future. Landon Slaggart, his first NHL goal in tonight's game. What's up, Devin? You're on WGN Radio.
Joe, first of all, congratulations on the extension. We're glad to have you for three more years. You know, there was not a lot of positives today, but Landon Slaggart, like you said, did score his first goal, which was well-deserved. I want to know, where do you think he'll fit in this lineup? Maybe next year, 2 years down the line, just what do you think?
Yeah, no, hey, thank you, Devin. Appreciate the kind words, appreciate the call, and appreciate the constant support. Again, perfect attendance on the postgame show. You're killing it. You know, it's kind of funny because Landon Slaggart was not picked up by Kyle Davidson. He was picked up by the previous regime, and his mold, the type of hockey player that he is, really fits into what this regime is going for. Kyle Davidson, Norm McIver, Mark Eaton. I remember having a conversation with him last year about player development, and the main thing that stuck to me was getting players that can think quickly. And Troy Murray always says being a fast team isn't just having fast skaters. It's how fast can you move the puck up the ice? How crisp are your passes? How forward-thinking are you moving the puck along offensively? And Landon Slaggart seems to be all that and more. Also defensively, he's just a hard-working guy. And it's not too surprising spending 4 years in college, but I mean, it is quite an adjustment, and a lot of guys that do play 4 years in college, you know, some people might think they're there for a reason. They're not in the NHL just yet, but, you know, he was very patient. The Hawks were also very patient with him. Both sides seemed to be totally fine with how the process went, and, I mean, let's face it, he accomplished a lot of great things at Notre Dame. He ended up being the captain this past year, I should say. He just graduated. Actually, I don't know if he's fully graduated. We talked to him about his courses a couple weeks ago. Anyway, 4 years. Fourth year, he became the captain. This year, he really took a lot of strides forward offensively. And it just seems like that was so huge for his, I don't want to call it his NHL career. I mean, he's only played in 12 games now, including tonight. But it definitely seems like that transition really worked out for him. I know this is a long-winded answer to Devin's question, but I mean, I'm really impressed with him. I don't want to say I'm surprised, but I'm definitely impressed with how quickly he adapted and how sustained that has been. He picked up his first goal of the year tonight of his career, but he had a few more chances a couple of games ago. He hit the post again today. I think that's three times he's drawn iron before netting his first goal. But his game seems to be translating perfectly. Now, we'll see what happens the following year. But, I mean, if he keeps this up, who knows? Maybe he is a second-line player. Maybe he's definitely a great depth guy. I would think the floor. But I don't know. I don't like making proclamations about players, especially so young. But everything he has brought this year and to this team, too. I mean, it's a struggling year for the Hawks right now, but he has really been a very good bright spot since joining this team. So I do think that there are some high hopes and high expectations for the former Notre Dame captain of Landon Slaggart. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. Peter Puck in Peoria, congrats on the GN renewal for three more years. Some other opinions by Peter Puck in Peoria. Yeah, we're all thrilled. We really are. If you haven't heard, WGN Radio and the Blackhawks signing a three-year extension. So you'll be hearing Blackhawks Radio here on these airwaves for the next 3 years. Tomorrow, it's going to be a fun day. We're going to be celebrating this news almost all day. Troy Murray's joining Bob Surratt at 9:45. I'll be on with John Williams at 10:20. John Weideman will join Lisa Dent at 5:15. So just keep it tuned to WGN Radio all day tomorrow and hopefully catch one of us or maybe all three of us talking about the good news between the Hawks and WGN Radio. Unfortunately, not good for the Hawks on the ice tonight, a 5-2 loss to the St. Louis Blues. We've got more to get to, though, and hopefully going to hear from the Blackhawks dressing room and from head coach Luke Richardson as well. Hawks fall to the Blues 5-2 tonight down in St. Louis. This is the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Donato passed the Slaggart over the Blues line, moves in, shoots, he scores! His first National Hockey League goal. This one's going to count. That hit the back of the Blues net. And for Landon Slaggart, he scores for the first time in his NHL career. A nice top shelf goal over the blocker of Hofer. And it's now 5-2 in favor of the Blues.
Unfortunately, that was the highest point for the Hawks tonight on the ice. Landon Slaggart, his first career NHL goal, assisted by Ryan Donato. If you didn't know, Ryan Donato assisting Landon Slaggart and Connor Bedard for their first career NHL goals this year. Ryan Donato also the guy that scored the first goal in Seattle Kraken history. So he's going to wind up on a trivia sheet one of these days. But does a lot more than that, too. He's just a very versatile, depth, and productive hockey player. Great acquisition by the Hawks and definitely a guy that they're going to value next year as well. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 10:30 tonight. We'll give Landon Slaggart our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. From the 630 area code, congratulations to all, to those whose voices grace us every game, to those behind the controls. Blackhawks Radio, the winner tonight. As an avid listener, I'm very grateful. Time to celebrate in the neighborhood, the mayor. I think we know who that one is. And from the 630 area code, it's Bill from Saugany Lake wants to say that he didn't know I frequented Moose Jaw. I don't, Bill from Saugany Lake. I follow Duncan Keith on Instagram, and he had put out that he, Chris Pronger, and Eric Gagne, I forgot Eric Gagne was from Canada, were all speaking at an event in Moose Jaw. And again, just seeing Duncan Keith and Chris Pronger, I don't think they were sitting next to each other in the same car. I think Pronger was sitting shotgun, Duncan Keith was sitting in the back. obviously this is very important information, but both them just hanging out and smiling and posting on social media was just so weird to me. Obviously, loving that 2010 Hawks team, not loving Chris Pronger. Duncan Keith, one of the most hard-nosed, very stoic, very serious kind of guys. Just to see him hanging out with that kind of enemy was so surprising to me. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I had brought it up to Troy Murray at the beginning of the post-game show as he was reconnecting with his buddy Kelly Chase and just talking about hockey players are battling against each other every day on the ice and sometimes literally fighting. You know, what's it like when you both are done with your careers, you reconnect, and you know, is there still bad blood? I'm sure there's not, but it's definitely just an interesting thing that I feel like hockey, and Troy said kind of football too, can only present, where you're really looking to mess the other guy up out on the ice. And then when it's all said and done, hey, bud, what's going on? You know, that was funny. And that basically is what it is. But I don't think any of us can like really resonate with that feeling or that interaction unless you've played on the ice. So that's why I wanted to ask Troy about it. Landon Slaggart, again, his first career NHL goal. The player coming from Notre Dame and scoring in his 12th game as picking it up on the assist from Ryan Donato. We'll hear from him in just a moment. First, we got to stop for station identification.
The Blackhawks, Wildcats, and the NFL play here on AM 720. On smart speakers, say play WGN Chicago.
WGN. I have a feeling that Landon Slaggart's going to talk a little bit more smoothly than I just did. Let's hear from him after his first NHL goal.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely good to get the first one out of the way. It was a great play by Donato and Twisty there to give me the puck. Obviously, like you said, I wish it came in a little different fashion, more of an important game, but, you know, disappointed with the outcome, but happy to get the first one out of the way.
When you hit the post earlier in the period, you feel like you were just a little cursed or something?
It was getting to that point for sure, yeah, but the guys were just joking around with me and keeping me positive, so, you know, it ended up working out a couple shifts later.
It seemed like kind of almost a similar situation in on the goalie like that. Were you able to use what you saw the first time to know where to go the second time?
Yeah, it was a little different, just having pressure on me the first time. I had to kind of make a slip move to get the shot off, but knew I had a little more time, could get the goalie leaning a little bit and kind of went far side on it.
As far as the first period, I guess, just kind of disappointing to see the team come out that way.
Yeah, for sure. It's obviously tough. You know, they came out hot. I don't think we were ready to go right away. So that kind of what happens when we play good teams like this, they can capitalize on those opportunities. So I think we did play a lot better going into the second and into the third. But obviously, it's hard when you dig yourself a hole like that.
What did you guys talk about on the bench or at the intermission after that start?
You know, I think everyone was disappointed in how things were going. So, you know, we can control our effort, and I think that was a big thing. And just making simple plays, you know, don't overcomplicate it. Make the simple plays, get pucks out, get pucks in, and I think we did just that.
Did you have any friends or family at this game?
No family at this game. A couple friends from Notre Dame hockey. Neil Komodowski is actually a scout for Vancouver, so he lives in the area. Him and his kids were in town, so it'll be nice to say hi to them after the game.
I'm glad that Slagger did have some friends at that game because his NHL debut, I think he had around 40 people. And then even the next game, I can't remember when he had the goal, but they took it back if it was his next game or two games later or whatever. But his family was in attendance, and everyone thought that he had scored, and they had to pull it back. He actually hit the crossbar, and it almost looked like when he shot it and when he hit the crossbar, he knew he hit the crossbar, but then he kind of turned around, and I think it was Jason Dickinson that was celebrating it, and he just started celebrating. Okay, what else can you do but celebrate in that moment? But then the refs took a look at it and made the right call. It wasn't a good goal. Tonight, Landon Slaggart gets his first NHL goal, and as he said, unfortunately has to come in a game like this, but he does get that first one out of the way. Jason Dickinson has been quite a leader in this Blackhawks dressing room this year. Let's hear what he had to say after this Hawks rough start and rough loss, 5-2 to the Blues.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it was anything, you know, systemic that went wrong, or what could you point to for that start?
They came out, they wanted the win, they wanted to score, they got to us right away.
You had that tough experience here at the end last time, and did it feel a little bit similar to that, just at a different stage of the game?
Sure, yeah. We gave up another four quick goals. I guess that's similar, yeah.
You seem pretty frustrated.
Yeah. It's not fun losing. Not fun losing like that. Yeah, not much to say.
Did you guys have a talk in the first intermission and just trying to make the most of the final 40?
What needs to be said? I don't think anything needs to be said. An embarrassing first period. We had one shot, maybe three shot attempts. We're down 4-0. What words need to be said in that?
Well, an extra appreciation for Ben Pope for providing us with the audio and being able to do that. That's not the easiest thing in the world to interview players after a rough loss like that. You can obviously hear it in Jason Dickinson's voice. But I also understand it. Again, Dickinson has been a leader on this team and a guy that I feel likes to set the tone for what types of standards this team is looking for. And he clearly was not satisfied with the start. I don't think anyone should be. We even heard it in Troy Murray's voice at the beginning of the game. And as Jason just said, one shot on goal in the first 20 minutes, maybe three shot attempts. The starts have still been a problem. I know a couple of games ago I was saying they haven't been repetitively a problem as much as they had in the past. The Hawks still are playing some of their best hockey in this last month, but these last two games are really kind of salt in the waters. Being outscored a total of 9-2 over these last two games, giving up a combination of 8 unanswered goals, actually 10 when you go back to the Dallas game. This is clearly a team that, we've said it a million times, needs to play a full 60 minutes. Tonight was another example of what type of effect a bad start can have in this game. I get it, when you're up 4-0 after the first period, a lot of that energy, adrenaline is going to die out for the St. Louis Blues, and it did. And the Hawks, okay, maybe took advantage of it, but they only did get one goal in that second period. They didn't do enough, because we've seen them make those kind of comebacks. Remember the San Jose game where they came back with 5 unanswered goals, and we were talking about the value of a win like that. Once Filip Kurashev scored in this second period, I had a little bit of that thought. Not that it was going to happen, but okay, well, these guys do have a game that they can lean on where they were able to make the full-on comeback, and it did work out for them that time. Maybe they can use that experience into tonight, but it takes a lot. It takes a lot to do that, and let's face it, St. Louis is a much different team than the San Jose Sharks. The Blues are still mathematically alive for the playoffs, and taking a quick look at that because they needed a win. And a Vegas loss. And how about this? Vegas is about to lose to Edmonton 5-1. It's still going to take a lot for St. Louis to make a postseason push, but I think it's now 2 straight games where they've done what they needed to do and gotten some luck. So, I mean, as a professional athlete, I think you're still gunning for absolutely everything that you can. But this clearly was not the start the Hawks needed, not the start they were looking for. Frankly, I'm really curious about practice tomorrow. We've seen it before where Luke Richardson has run a pretty tough practice after a performance like that. Even after, I mean, that San Jose game that I'm referencing, the following practice after that 5-goal comeback was really tough. And he pointed out, well, you know, even though we came back and won that game, which we're proud of, which we're excited for, we still had a bad start. We still had a bad game in Anaheim. We still didn't get done what we wanted to get done in L.A. So now we've got to make that up in practice. So I'm curious what practice will look like tomorrow, because the Hawks will be back at home against Nashville on Friday. Final home game at the United Center this year on Sunday against the Carolina Hurricanes. But this was definitely not one that this team or coaching staff is satisfied with, a 5-2 loss to the St. Louis Blues. We got to get to another break, but we'll hear from Luke Richardson when we come back. We'll also hear from you, 312-981-7200. This is the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Slaggered along the right boards to Korchinski, the corner. Entwistle, right point. Vlasic in the high slot. Works it into the right circle with a puck on the backhand and then jams the puck on goal. Hofer turned it wide with the pads, and there's the horn ending the game. Blues win. win 5-2 here in St. Louis. They win the season series, 3 wins against 1 loss to the Hawks. These two teams will get together again next season for certain, and we're very happy to say we'll be carrying those games right here on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, that is. That's how the end of this one sounded, a 5-2 loss to the St. Louis Blues. And yes, if you haven't heard the news, WGN Radio and the Chicago Blackhawks with an extension for another 3 years. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 10:30 tonight. Our save of the game is sponsored by ComEd for Business. ComEd, powering business, powering lives. Arvid Sutterbloom came in for Peter Mrazek tonight after Mrazek coughed up 3 goals on 3 shots. Unfortunately, the first shot that Sutterbloom faced got past him as well, making it a 4-0 lead for the Blues on their first 4 shots. But again, I think you got to give a little credit to Arvid Sutterbloom. Believe me, this isn't the game of the year or anything, but he's had such an up-and-down season. And how about the transition of his year? The beginning of this year, he was a goaltender that they were going to rely on a lot, not a ton, not a 1A, 1B situation, but definitely a good amount. And because he had his struggles, they kind of took away some of his playing time so that Peter Mrazek could ride the hot hand and Sutterbloom could work on some things. And for a little bit, it seemed like that worked. In fact, I think the most devastating game for Sutterbloom was the last one in St. Louis. But he got thrown into a tough spot tonight and did an all right job. Again, gave up the first goal on the first shot, but then kind of settled in after that. And I mean, all you're kind of asking for at that moment is to stop the bleeding. And after that first goal allowed, he did that. He ended up coughing up 1 more later on Robert Thomas finding the back of the net off of Braden Schenn's rebound. But Troy Murray was complimentary on that save. So if anything, some nice steps forward for Arvid Sutterbloom in this 5-2 loss. I got some people posing questions about Luke Richardson. I do want to get to them, but let's hear from the head coach first as he chatted after this 5-2 loss.
No, we definitely weren't ready to compete, and they showed their desperation on where they are in the standings. And unfortunately, we didn't give Peter much help, give him a breakaway and a 2-on-1 to start the game.
What can you point to as far as what leads to that? I know we've had this conversation a few times the past month.
Don't know why. We've been pretty good most of the year, and then there's been a couple times where we're just not aware. We talk about certain things in our pregame, preparation, and we just go out there and we're totally unaware of that, and it's unacceptable at this level. But usually if there's one hiccup, you can kind of rebound. You can't let it repeat 2 or 3 times. And be down like that, especially on the road where you don't have a lot of control of the game with line changes and stuff. So, unfortunately, going into the second where we decided to keep Pete a lot more, we're too far behind.
Did you give any thought to using your timeout? I know you like to say
No, because, it wasn't just one play or one thing. It was everybody and everything, right, and just not ready to play. The result was what was on the board.
On that fourth goal, who's supposed to be covering that backdoor play?
At that point, it was kind of a broken down play. I think we had trouble in our own zone. We're 5-on-5. I thought 4-on-4, actually, we weren't too bad, other than we gave up a chance, but we scored right after. And power play, we hit the couple posts, and penalty killing was okay. 5-on-5 play, it just wasn't acceptable. It was a breakdown where we should have, it looked like we were going to break it out. And we just, we didn't move our feet very well tonight, and we held on to the pucks too long. So they were moving their feet, and they stick checked us quite a bit. So we didn't win a lot of those 1-on-1 battles where that's where it came back on us on that goal. And now everybody's out of position, and then there's a play and a backdoor play. So really, it was the execution of not breaking it out cleanly, and that's what it led to there.
Did you address the team one of the commercial breaks or?
No, I tried to talk to both sides of the bench at one commercial break, and then I usually go in about 8 minutes before the second period. I just went in right away and just told them it's unacceptable. You might as well just battle physically harder even if we take penalties, to show that you care and for one another, and you can't let a game get away from you that like that in the first period without a pushback. And I thought we did push back in the second, but unfortunately when you're down 4-0 on the road against a team that's desperate, you're not going to probably make a lot of strides back this time of the year.
Jason was out here and he's seen the most I've ever seen him, and are you seeing some of that in the team, that they seem really upset about this?
I think so, you know, and that's a good reaction. They should be, and you know, hopefully that leads into next game, and we play a little bit upset on how we started this game. You know, I mean, because we got to put another 40 minutes in this game and for nothing. And, you know, I mean, really every minute counts in professional sports. You got to be ready for it.
What do you think of Slager tonight?
Good. You know, he's been good, and he competes. He was battling physically, made some really nice plays, had a couple chances around the front of the net, and finally scored on a really nice rush and a play and a great shot. So happy for him. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the memory to have a win to go along with it, but it was a really nice goal for him to start his career off.
Got a text from Doc Mike, and again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. Doc Mike asks, there has been a pattern this year where the Hawks don't seem ready to play at the outset of the game. How much of that can be attributed to the coaches not having the team ready to play? Double-digit games with the Hawks getting shut out clearly point to the Hawks being very, very early in a rebuild, to say the least. A lot of thoughts there. I'll start with the first, because this is something I just kind of addressed, and honestly, it's something I asked Luke Richardson. What is the most challenging thing for this team to just consistently get off to a good start? And he really couldn't put his finger on it. And I don't think that that's an example of him not being sure what this team needs, but just the fact that it is so inconsistent, it's not just a quick fix that, oh, well, we got to do this before the game and then we're ready. Like, he has done the morning skates. He's not done the morning skates. He's had the practices. He hasn't had the practices. He's had the tough practices. And there's really no right recipe. And I know I go to this a lot. This roster is still relying on a lot of youth and a lot of young guys and just a lot of people, a lot of players that are getting their feet set in the NHL. But I think when things start to snowball, that's when you see these young mistakes getting exposed more and other good teams taking advantage of it. Luke was asked about not calling a timeout. He's been pretty adamant this year, and actually the 2 years he's been here, about holding on to those timeouts just in case. But his reasoning there was because it wasn't just one thing. It was a lot of things going on. And again, when you pull Peter Mrazek for Arvid Soderblom, you know something's off, and it's not just one player, it's not just one thing. It's a lot of things that are affecting it, and that is the case. Really quick, I got a tweet from Sports Hash. So glad we get WGN Radio with the Hawks crew. You guys rock. Thank you very much. What does Luke do with so few games left? Will there be a bag skate? I don't want to say for sure that there will be or won't be. We have seen very aggressive practices and bag skates after performances like these. To me, I would expect it in terms of I would imagine that that's what Luke's plan would be. But also, if we go to practice tomorrow and there's not a bag skate, I don't think it's going to be the most groundbreaking absence of a bag skate ever. These guys are professionals. They know where they need changes to be made. I mean, Jason Dickinson, you heard it in his minute and 6 second press conference after this game. There's not much to be said. It was a very rough start, and then it turned into a very rough game because of the very rough start. We've got one more break to get to. We're going to take a look around the league. Also, there's a new Blackhawks Every Shift episode on YouTube that you can watch. We'll tease that a little bit, and a few other things I want to get to as we wrap up the Blackhawks post-game show. 720 WGN.
We did this one for when you get on the bench. I mean, it's not the only thing you can do, but it's like a in, out, and it's supposed to just, like, you know, send a message to your brain to calm you right down. So that one we practiced a bit, and we also just did, like, five seconds in, 5 seconds out, just to, like, kind of slow things down after, and stuff to practice for, you know, in game or when you're working out, stuff like that.
That is Paul Ludwinski a Blackhawks prospect, and he's talking about one of the breathing exercises that Johnny Oduya helped him and all the prospects with during Blackhawks prospect camp this summer. We play that sound because Paul Ludwinski and Nick Lardis have recently signed an amateur tryout with the Rockford Ice Hogs. Both those guys expected to be pieces for the Blackhawks' future. Paul Ludwinski just wrapping up a year with OHL's Kingston. He picked up 69 points on 23 goals and 46 assists. 19 years old. Nick Lardis, we actually saw playing in some of those preseason games this year at the United Center. I think he was on Connor Bedard's line at the Tom Curvers showcase. But either way, both those guys are going to Rockford because Rockford is going to the playoffs. They clinched a playoff berth a week ago. And the Ice Hogs playing in some significant, high-intense, high-competitive games. And the Hawks hold a lot of value to those types of games, especially when these younger guys might not get it at the NHL level, where the Hawks are in their rebuild right now. We even talked with Lucas Reichel yesterday at practice, and he was still leaving up the possibility that he could join Rockford for their playoff run. Not quite sure if that'll be the case. They've kind of talked to Luke Richardson about that, and there's really been no definitive answer whether or not, but keep an eye out for that. But good for Nick Lardis and good for Paul Ludwinski. They'll get some good experience down there, and I'm sure they'll have a lot of fun. The Blackhawks have their own TV show, if you don't know about it. It's called Every Shift, and it's on YouTube. It's free. It's not long episodes. It's 20, 25 minutes. I think this week's episode, this edition, was about 22 minutes. It was very cool. We got a little in-depth look of Kevin Korchinski and Alex Vlasic playing the guitar, living together. They did a real strong focus on some of the Blackhawks that are still alive in the Frozen Four, some were that recently eliminated in the Frozen Four. But here's a little glimpse of the most recent Every Shift episode by the Blackhawks.
A lot of the success that we will find in years like this is through the development of our young players. So there's a lot of work that goes into that in terms of identifying certain styles of play, certain attributes that they possess, whether it's a compete level, a certain skill set that they show, the way they process the game, that we could see coming to the NHL and all playing the same way together.
The Blackhawks prospect pool includes players at many different stages of development. Whether they spend time in the WHL or the collegiate ranks, all aim to make the NHL roster. Everyone's path is different, but growth can be achieved in a variety of places, as players on the ice and as people off it.
That was Alex Vlasic playing the guitar at the end. You heard from Kyle Davidson, the Blackhawks GM. You heard from Darren Pang. And just a real cool behind-the-scenes look at what the Hawks are doing on a day-to-day basis. All these young players, all this young talent that's on its way up. Real cool in-depth look at Oliver Moore and Sam Rinzell, teammates for Minnesota, the Golden Gophers. Unfortunately for them, their season did come to an end, but Frank Nazar and the Michigan Wolverines still alive, and Ryan Green also with Boston. Let's go back to the NHL now, and we'll get you set for the Blackhawks' next game with our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time.
Stick handling out to the right side of center. Gives the puck up. Brought in Sherwood. Now breathing a road, and a shot to score. Tommy Novak breaks the stride. Predators take a 1-0 lead.
Predators just wrapped up their 16th playoff berth in their 20 years of existence. Nashville's in town on Friday. It'll be a 7:30 puck drop with a 7 o'clock FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show right here on 720 WGN. Let's go to around the league, and we'll start and finish in Edmonton.
He's in on the right wing to the right wing corner. Behind the net, McLeod to Perry through the slot, back to the point. Nurse, he'll shoot it, just tipped wide off the stick of McLeod. CeCe puts it to the net, scores! Cody CeCe, he banked it off of Alec Martinez. It's 1-0 Oilers.
That's Cam Moon of CHED Radio. The Vegas Golden Knights fall to the Edmonton Oilers 5-1. That call courtesy of the Oilers Radio Network. Blackhawks hockey's been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time, and Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all the help here at the WGN Radio Studios. Our engineer was the tireless Krista Flores. Our production crew of Alan Poppy and Jack Heinrich, with the help of Jean LeBlanc. For everyone that I mentioned, along with John Weinemann and Troy, signed a amateur tryout with the Rockford Ice Hogs. Both those guys expected to be pieces for the Blackhawks' future. Paul Ledwinski just wrapping up a year with OHL's Kingston. He picked up 69 points on 23 goals and 46 assists, 19 years old. Nick Lardis, we actually saw playing in some of those preseason games this year at the United Center. I think he was on Connor Bedard's line at the Tom Curvers showcase. But either way, both those guys are going to Rockford because Rockford is going to the playoffs. They clinched a playoff berth a week ago. And the Ice Hogs playing in some significant, high-intense, high-competitive games. And the Hawks hold a lot of value to those types of games, especially when these younger guys might not get it at the NHL level, where the Hawks are in their rebuild right now. We even talked with Lucas Reichel yesterday at practice, and he was still leaving up the possibility that he could join Rockford for their playoff run. Not quite sure if that'll be the case. They've kind of talked to Luke Richardson about that, and there's really been no definitive answer whether or not, but keep an eye out for that. But good for Nick Lardis and good for Paul Ledwinski. They'll get some good experience down there, and I'm sure they'll have a lot of fun. The Blackhawks have their own TV show, if you don't know about it. It's called Every Shift, and it's on YouTube. It's free. It's not long episodes. It's 20, 25 minutes. I think this week's episode, this edition, was about 22 minutes. It was very cool. We got a little in-depth look of Kevin Korchinski and Alex Vlasic playing the guitar, living together. They did a real strong focus on some of the Blackhawks that are still alive in the Frozen Four, some were that recently eliminated in the Frozen Four, but here's a little glimpse of the most recent Every Shift episode by the Blackhawks.
A lot of the success that we will find in years like this is through the development of our young players. So there's a lot of work that goes into that in terms of identifying certain styles of play, certain attributes that they possess, whether it's a compete level, a certain skill set that they show, the way they process the game, that we could see coming to the NHL and all playing the same way together.
The Blackhawks prospect pool includes players at many different stages of development. Whether they spend time in the WHL or the collegiate ranks, all aim to make the NHL roster. Everyone's path is different, but growth can be achieved in a variety of places, as players on the ice and as people off it.
That was Alex Vlasic playing the guitar at the end. You heard from Kyle Davidson, the Blackhawks GM. You heard from Darren Pang. And just a real cool behind-the-scenes look at what the Hawks are doing on a day-to-day basis. All these young players, all this young talent that's on its way up. Real cool in-depth look at Oliver Moore and Sam Rinzell, teammates for Minnesota, the Golden Gophers. Unfortunately for them, their season did come to an end, but Frank Nazar and Michigan Wolverines still alive, and Ryan Green also with Boston. Let's go back to the NHL now, and we'll get you set for the Blackhawks' next game with our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time.
Stick handling out to the right side of center. Gives the puck up. Brought in Sherwood. Now breathing a road, and a shot to score. Tommy Novak breaks the stride, and the Predators take a 1-0 lead.
Predators just wrapped up their 16th playoff berth in their 20 years of existence. Nashville's in town on Friday. It'll be a 7:30 puck drop with a 7 o'clock FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show right here on 720 WGN. Let's go to around the league, and we'll start and finish in Edmonton.
It's in on the right wing to the right wing corner. Behind the net, McLeod to Perry through the slot, back to the point. Nurse, he'll shoot it, just tipped wide off the stick of McLeod. CeCe puts it to the net, scores! Cody CeCe, he faked it off of Alec Martinez. It's 1-0 Oilers.
That's Cam Moon of CHED Radio. The Vegas Golden Knights fall to the Edmonton Oilers 5-1. That call courtesy of the Oilers Radio Network. Blackhawks hockey's been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time, and Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all the help here at the WGN Radio Studios. Our engineer was the tireless Krista Flores. Our production crew of Alan Poppy and Jack Heinrich, with the help of Jean LeBlanc. For everyone that I mentioned, along with John Weineman and Troy Murray, who had tonight's call, I'm Joe Brand. Big congratulations to WGN Radio and the Hawks for the three-year extension. So thrilled to be bringing you Hawks hockey for the next 3 years.